John King from Your Mac Life. We're starting off our new show called Your Digital Life. We're here at CES in Las Vegas. We're in the booth of the HRRC.org. That's the Home Recording Rights Coalition. Talking to the counsel for the coalition, Robert Schwartz. Mr. Schwartz, thank you very much for joining us.
Great pleasure.
Explain what the Home Recording Rights Coalition is.
Home Recording Rights Coalition was established in October of 1981 when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that a new product, the Betamax VCR, the first consumer VCR, was a violation of the copyright laws because it enabled some people who used it to infringe on the copyrights of broadcast television programs. Fortunately, that decision was reversed in 1984 by the United States Supreme Court in only a 5-4 vote.
Yeah. Very close vote.
If one vote had gone the other direction, it may be that we would not have had the VCR age. Of course, part of the VCR age was the creation of the home video market, and today the home video market is the number one source of revenue for the movie industry. It's larger than the theatrical box office. It's larger than sales to cable TV. It's larger than foreign sales. But until you have the device, you don't have the market. Even though that particular court decision was reversed, there was legislation introduced at the time that would have put a $50 tax on any new VCR, a $5 levy on blank tape. And since then, there have been many, many, many other legislative proposals that would have impaired new technology from getting to the marketplace. So we are still here 25 years later.
Is that the point that we're trying, the HRRC.org is the website, the point is to not lock down information, not lock down data, because it's seemingly so easy to do it here in the digital age?
Well, there are two aspects to it. One is locking down the information or the data, and the other is locking down the hardware that people have in their homes. Actually, there's a third, which is locking down the operation of the software that runs on the hardware and deals with the data. There have been proposals to do that in any number of areas. There are capabilities to do that in the products that people are buying today. One of the things that HRRC addresses is having those restrictive capabilities of your products turned on only in the most appropriate circumstances and not in such ways as to impede the reasonable and customary ways that consumers use their devices. And on a forward-looking basis, what's even more important is to keep the productive and competitive capabilities in new devices rather than having them be just specific players for whatever service somebody decides to put on the market. That's not competition and that's not progress.
The HRRC is not against all DRM. It's not against all rights that the creator has. You just want to reserve and keep the rights that are allowed by the Supreme Court in devices that you have in your home, correct?
Right. The HRRC is funded by technology companies. And even though the users of many of these DRM techniques, the customers for them, if you will, are content originators and distributors, the inventors and the IP holders for many of these processes, or most of these techniques, are in fact technology companies, some of which belong to the Home Recording Rights Coalition. So, sure, there's a lot of technology out there that kind of guides or shapes the way things are going to be used by consumers. But that doesn't mean that it should get in the way of how consumers are going to use the product.
You guys recognize that as a creator of content, and that's what I'm doing here right now, I'm creating my own content, I have the right to do whatever I want with my content. You have the right to not purchase my content if you don't like the way I've protected myself.
Well, actually, the copyright laws, don't give you quite the level of control that you just described. The copyright laws do not give any monopoly, or do not give a complete monopoly, I should say, over the use of a product. There are only a couple of uses of content that are protected by copyright. One is to publish it. Another is to make it available by public performance. Otherwise, people have a complete right to use anything that they've acquired. There are also rights that the copyright owner has with respect to copying. And the copyright owner, if for the term of their copyright has a monopoly over their right to copy and to redistribute. However, the copyright law also in the statute has a doctrine called fair use, which protects certain user expectations of it. In the digital age, the fair use doctrine is even more important than it ever has been, because digital technology involves copying as a means of transmission. So were it not for the fair use doctrine, then a strict interpretation of the copyright law could basically prevent web browsing, it could prevent email, and it could prevent all sorts of daily activities that everybody, including the content industry, relies on.
Is part of the problem that technology's gone past the law, that Congress, as we've all heard, is a bunch of old white guys who really may not understand what's going on, and because they are lobbied by the industry, the movie industry and the record industry, they're not listening to the consumers?
Well, it's a question, it's not a question of whether they listen or not, it's a question of the perceptions that are offered to people and whether they have an opportunity to examine them and to compare them. Certainly the entertainment industry has built-in advantages in communicating with the public, and they have devoted a great deal of resources. You go into a movie theater, and before the movie very often, you'll see a 15-minute piece about all the jobs that go into creating it. You don't see a 15-minute piece about all of the jobs of engineers and technologists in creating the really neat product that was about to hit the market, but the people were afraid to go forward with that out of fear that they'd face a lawsuit based on one or two of its uses.
In law, is this unusual? There's a lot of fear to create new products. There's a lot of fear from people. I don't want to do this because I'm going to get sued under the DCMA, or I don't want to do this and that kind of thing. Is the digital age creating more fear?
Well, it's actually what's creating the fear is the way the copyright law is written, because there's such a thing as statutory damages. It may have seemed reasonable once that a copyright owner, as an alternative to proving actual damages and showing, oh, you hurt the market for my product, which is kind of, complex to prove because it's kind of ethereal, can say, okay, for every product that's infringed, I can elect a flat fee of $750. In the old days, when we were dealing with hand-to-hand or face-to-face commerce, that was not a great deal of money. Nowadays, if you have a device that is so popular, like an iPod, that it enables millions of people to deal with millions of products, you add $750 for every work that might be embraced by that. You're talking about money that could put some of even the largest companies out of business or into bankruptcy. So it's not even the small guys working in the garage who are worried about the statutory damage provisions of the copyright law if you were to apply it to a device. And that's why there was such a great deal of concern when the Betamax was sued, because this opens up tremendous avenues and markets for consumers, but the great numbers that are enabled for productive commerce also can produce enormous potential judgments against the technologist.
Folks, we're talking to Robert Schwartz. He's the counsel for the Home Recording Rights Coalition. One of the things that I noticed in your booth that a lot of folks may not be realizing, as we all get more into HD, and I've got an HD set at home, it's very cool. Explain what down-resing is and how that's a danger to those folks.
Well, when high-definition displays first came on the market, there was one way of getting content into it, through something called the component video interface, which is three wires, three different colors. People are probably familiar with it. In the more recent years, in the last year or two, there have been some digital interfaces that involve a single wire and involve some copy protection.
Is that the HDMI connection that's in the back of my TV?
The earlier version of it is DVI and then HDMI. And there'll be some other protected digital interfaces as well. The content industry has taken the stance that they might not be comfortable in having some of their content flow to devices if it can go out this component video port, because there's, at the moment, there is no simple way to protect it against copying. So the person who was an early buyer of, say, a 50-inch plasma display might have spent $7,000 to $8,000 on a product that's going to be useful for another 6 or 8 years. If it's hooked up to a set-top box and they're paying for the content, if we had such a thing called down resolution, or more seriously, something called selectable output control, which is something that we're even more concerned about, a switch would be thrown at the head end of the cable operator or satellite operator, and the component video output on the set-top box would be turned off for that content, which means if your TV is hooked up to your set-top box through only one wire, or one set of wires as most are, your TV simply goes dark when you try to view that content. Down resolution cuts the horizontal and vertical pixels each in half. You multiply half by half, you get a quarter, so you get a quarter of the resolution that's actually being sent to your product. And so you might not even own a recorder, but based on concerns in the entertainment industry or the distributors they deal with in the cable or satellite industry, they can switch off your ability to view content that you've already paid for or that you're willing to pay for.
Frustrating thing for a lot of folks on your side of the industry is the lack of knowledge of consumers. Let's say that the top three things consumers should know about all this kind of stuff, and we'll talk about how they can get involved with the HRRC.
Well, first, consumers should be aware that with all the talk about peer-to-peer networks and, you know, downloading, that they should have a little confidence that what they're doing in their home for private, non-commercial purposes, not necessarily 100 million of their closest friends who they don't know, but when they're dealing with people that they do know, their own family and themselves, that they shouldn't feel guilty about it. People have started using the word pirating. So I pirated this. No. You made a copy of stuff that you bought, and you're making a productive use. If you lend it or give one copy to your friend is likely to become familiar with an artist and go out and buy records. And we've done any number of studies that confirm that. So first, be sensible in what you do, but have some self-confidence in it as well. Second, be aware that some members of Congress are aware of these issues and are fighting the good fight. They've introduced legislation called H.R. 1201. It would amend the Digital Millennium Copyright Act to basically provide that when you deal with a technological measure that stops you from doing something, if the thing that you want to do is legal under the copyright laws, you ought to be able to do it. Because after all, that's what the DMCA was supposed to be protecting. So Congressman Rick Boucher of Virginia, John Doolittle of California, on a bipartisan basis, introduced this bill. It's been co-sponsored by Congressman Joe Barton of Texas, the chairman of the House Commerce Committee, but there's a lot of powerful opposition from the entertainment industry. These guys need your help and the help of their colleagues in the Congress, so the best thing you can do is ask your own member of the Congress to become a co-sponsor of H.R. 1201.
And once they get enough co-sponsors, how far along in Congress is this bill? Is it still in the preliminary stages, or has it been introduced yet?
It was introduced last year. In 2006, we think there may well be a congressional hearing on it. And Chairman Barton has said he wants to move this legislation, bring it up to a vote in the House Commerce Committee.
It's going to be tough, though, because when they do this in committee, there's going to be a bunch of guys from Paramount and Universal. If the average Joe shows up and speaks in front of the panel, they're not going to carry as much weight. So how do folks get involved with HRRC so you guys can go to Congress on our behalf?
Well, on our website, which, is, as you kindly said, is hrrc.org, we have three action alerts up at the present time. One is you start by simply entering your zip code, and it will tell you who your representative is and who your two senators are, and it will help you send a message directly to them. The second message is on what we spoke about a moment ago, selectable output control and down-resing, asking your members to be aware of that and to ask the Federal Communications Commission not to impose or allow to be these sorts of practices to be imposed on people who get, cable TV or satellite TV. The third alert is with respect to another popular product and service, digital radio, both the satellite services such as XM and Sirius and the new local over-the-air service called HD Radio, The recording industry has tried to persuade the Congress to put some prior constraints on how these services are used, possibly even start encrypting the radio service, which was designed to be not encrypted, which would mean that it wouldn't work with any of your stereo systems already in your home.
Look, this is really important. You've got to go to the website, www.hrrc.org. Read up on this stuff. These guys, the record industry, the music industry, are trying to prevent you from doing things that have been up to this point in time legal. HRCC.org. HRRC, that's the Council for the Home Recording Rights Coalition. Robert Schwartz corrected me. Thank you very much, Mr. Schwartz.
And you are very welcome.
I've been Sean King from Your Digital Life. We are here at CES in Las Vegas. Thanks to our friends at Apple Specialists at applespecialists.com. See ya.